How great thou art. to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou the splendor of my King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, darkness tried to hide, but it trembles at his voice, it trembles at his voice. How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and oh, sing how great. How great is our God. Age to age he steps. Time is in his hands. The beginning and the end. The beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son. He's the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and oh, we'll sing how great is our God, how great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God. And oh, we'll sing how great is our God. He's the name above all names. He is worthy of all our praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God. You're the name above all other names. You are worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me how great is our God. Oh, we'll sing how great. How great is our God. A thousand generations falling down to worship, we'll sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who've gone before us, and all who will believe, we'll sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. Above all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. If you've been forgiven, and if you've been redeemed, come sing the song forever to the Lamb. And if you walk in freedom, and if you bear His name, come sing the song forever to the Lamb. We'll sing the song forever and amen. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, to the King of Kings, holy, you will always be, holy, holy forever. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest. Your name, it stands above them all. Above all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. Jesus, your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. Above all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear the people sing, holy, to the King of Kings, holy, you will always be, holy, holy forever. You will always be forever. sing I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, O
of worship in the house, heart of praise, amen. Let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. We exalt you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Cora. Amen. Glad to have you here with us at the Family Worship Center and looking forward to what God has for us all. Amen. Amen. Thank each and every one of you for being here this morning. Thank you, brother. Can't wait to see what God has for us. Amen. Not just today, but as we walk with the Lord. What a time to be alive in Jesus. Amen. What a time to be alive in history. The world is closer to the rapture than it's ever been. I used to work with a guy. We'd start a job. I used to pour concrete, finish concrete. So long, hard, hot work. And we'd pull up at the job about 4 o'clock in the morning. And it'd be about 4:05, 4:10 in the morning. And he'd look at us and he'd go, hey, we're closer now than we've ever been to being done. And throughout the day, he'd say that. Amen. So look at us now. Amen. We're closer now than we've ever been to the Lord coming back. They've been saying that, promising that, prophesying that through the ages, he's going to come, amen. But while we wait, what a time to be alive. I can't wait to get to heaven. I can't wait to get there. But while I wait, amen, Lord, help us. Help us be your testimony in the earth. Let's pray, amen. I just feel it's fitting to open with prayer. But Father, I thank you for this day, and we do exalt you, Jesus. Your name is above every name, God. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, God. And Father, in its end, every knee will bow and tongue will confess that you are Lord. And so we thank you today, God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that my knee will not be made to bow, but I'll willingly bow, God. I willingly bow my heart to you today and say, you are my King. You are my Lord, Jesus. So we honor you. We praise you. Thank you for everyone that's here, God. We lift those up that are homesick, Lord God, those that couldn't have made it, Lord. And we praise you for the people that are here that have been homesick, God. They're able to be in the presence of the Lord, to congregate with us, Lord. We thank you for new life, God, not just my own baby, Lord, but also baby David, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for what you're doing, how you're doing it in our midst, Lord Jesus. You're testifying of your goodness every single day that we're here, Lord. We're seeing you more and more. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Go ahead and turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 8. You know me. I would have read the entire chapter. I like doing that. I really enjoy reading the Word of God. I think it doesn't need much preaching when you read it in its context. It really says exactly what it means. And that's the beauty of the Word of God. Amen. You don't need a preacher to come share some grand revelation. You just need the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, you can sit down at your home and read this Bible, and the Holy Spirit will define everything in it, in this word to you. It'll make it alive to you. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Now you should still come to church. Amen. We've got to share those revelations. We got to encourage one another. But we must have the Holy Spirit. Amen. It must live in us in order for us to know God. Amen. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 8. I need to get a drink of water because I may not stop. Amen. Try to get y'all out of here for lunch. We're starting in verse 8, and it reads this. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and underscore that right there in your own Bibles just for a note later. The necessity of this. Said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other name. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, they marveled. This is the title of my message, amen? And they realized that they had been with Jesus. Now my title for today's message is, Have You Been With Jesus? Amen? They recognized, out of the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived, they recognized that they were uneducated and untrained men, yet they marveled at their ability to minister. They marveled at their ability to give a response. They marveled at their ability to produce miracles by the Spirit of God. That's what they're marveling about, amen? And they deduced this out of this perception that Jesus had been in their midst. They had been in Jesus's midst. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Now, folks, there's a testimony of Jesus that is inarguable to the world. Do you know that? There's a testimony of Jesus that's inarguable to the world, which means that the world cannot come and tell a lie against what Jesus does in your life. That's how true it is. That's how true the work of God is in a believer, that the world would come and they would say, this person was once lost. This person was once a sinner, a mess, a wreck. He was in bondage. But all of us can see today that he's not anymore. That's the inarguable truth about the work of Jesus in life. Isn't that wonderful? If we're Christians today, we're a part of that testimony. Amen? I'll get to preaching here in a minute, but I find the Word of God fascinating when it comes to things like this, that we as people, don't matter where you're from, don't matter what your culture is, what your background is, I didn't graduate high school, I don't have a diploma, I don't have a degree, but God chose me to save me out of my sin. And then he thought it'd be a good idea to put me up in this pulpit to tell y'all about Jesus. I can barely read. Yet here I am reading the scriptures to you, not as an educated man. An unlearned man is up here telling you, how is that possible? It's the very first verse I read to you. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not me living at all today. It's Jesus Christ. Amen? It's the power of Christ in me. It's the ability of Christ in me. It's the gift of Christ in me. And we have this confidence in Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? That I don't have to show up for nobody today because Jesus is going to show up for me. Amen? My family don't have to worry about Rafe going and getting drunk tomorrow because Rafe don't live no more. Jesus lives in him. Folks, I used to would have done that to my wife and kids before I known Jesus. But I won't no more, not because I'm good, but because I have this confidence in Jesus. He's filled me with his Holy Spirit. He's filled me with his life. And he lives through me. And it's inarguable to the world. Because the world, when I first got saved, they looked at me and they said, we'll see. Remember that testimony? We'll see how it is. And folks, as I've lived in Christ, and Christ lived in me, you know what they've had to say? That Rafe, he's not alive no more. That one that we knew, he's not here no more. Somebody new is living. I remember my mama, she told me we'd see. And a few months later, she said, you're not my son. And I told her, I said, Mama, I'm not. I'm not your son. He's dead. Amen? What beauty in Christ. Man, all the pressure to be anything good is gone because he's good enough. Amen? His testimony. They perceived that he was with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. And then they argued amongst themselves because they were trying to figure out how to deal with this. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves saying, this is verse 16, what shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. And being let go, listen to this. Now they just were threatened hard. Don't you go tell nobody no more about Jesus. Now, if you want to read contextually, Peter and John just healed a man at the Gate Beautiful, a lame man who was lame from birth. They walked by him, and he asked for alms. You remember this story? And they said, silver and gold have we not, but what we have, we give you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. That was the testimony. That was what happened thus far. And when that happened, the Sanhedrin jumped all over this. The Pharisees jumped all over this. And they said, you're not able to do this in the name of Jesus. We're going to come against you. We're going to arrest you. That's exactly what they did. And while they're on trial, Peter stands up in the boldness of the Holy Spirit. And he's now testifying, we didn't do this. Christ Jesus did this, whom you crucified. That's who did this. And under that message and that testimony, 5,000 onlookers believed on Jesus in their heart. Isn't that amazing? Folks, God's not asking you to move mountains. God's simply asking you just to walk in Christ. Peter and John were just going to the temple to worship, and all of a sudden a man's there lame. And they don't give him anything. They don't give him money and say, you know, we're from the church. We just wanted to bless you and be a good person to you. They didn't do none of that. They said, listen, we could give you that, but what's that going to help? Every other person's doing that. But what I give you, I give in the name of Jesus. I give you what was given to me. It's the power of life to change you. And that man was raised up like that. And I'll tell you what, the dead church don't like that. A church that doesn't live in the life of Christ, they don't like it. They come against it. They want to bring arguments. They want to bring testimonies against it. But we just read, right? As they gathered and they tried to conclude a judgment on them, what happened? They come out of this place and they go, whether we agree with it or we don't, a noteworthy miracle's taken place. All of Jerusalem knows about it. 5,000 people believe in them. And all we can do, because we can't flog them, we can't beat them, we can't send them out and crucify them like we had done with Jesus, because too many people believe. What's the world going to do when everyone starts believing? Nothing. They're going to look on in awe at the glory of God. Let them not believe if they don't want to, but God's going to be God nonetheless. Amen? If he'll do it for me, he'll do it for you. We all have this testimony. There's not one greater in the kingdom of God, not one. Just because I have a pulpit on Sunday, I'll tell you right now, as a pastor, I'm the most restrained minister in all the world. Do you know why? Because you guys go out into the world every single day. You work jobs, you go to school, you do different things. You have such a wide variety of an evangelical mission field to where, as a pastor, I rely on people coming here. Now, I go to the grocery store and things like that, and I do my best, but most of my ministry is restricted here. So if you look at a pastor, I'm more of a servant of you evangelists, missionaries that go out and do ministry every single day. Because whether or not people come in is not just solely on me and what I can reach in a day, but it's on each of us as we go into the world every single day, our lives, your husbands, your wives, your children, your grandchildren. All of this is dependent on you going and living out what Jesus has asked you to live. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that this is 23, I'm sorry, I'm jumping. I told you I should have drunk that water first because I'm not stopping. Reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now that's the end of what I'm reading out of Acts, but I want you to understand the gravity of what's happened. As God ministers to us, as God moves upon us and moves through us, it gives us the testimony of Jesus Christ. These things were done in the name of Jesus Christ. And you know what we get to do then? Very similarly of what we did this morning when we gather together on a Sunday or a Wednesday or at a house church. We're able to come in. Why do we ask for prayer requests? Why do we ask for praise reports? So that we all might come into the presence of God, one with another, in the boldness of the Holy Spirit and go, you know what I was doing at work the other day? What I do every day, but old Joe was over there and his knee was hurting. Sorry, bro. I'm not talking about you. This is Brother John, not Joe. But I meant to say John, so my brain tricked me. So that's why I said that to you. But I meant to say John. I use my son John's name all the time, so. But it tricked me, so forgive me for that. I'm going to continue with my example. Get to the point, preacher. But Brother Joe was over there, and his knee was hurting. And he kept complaining about it. And there was something in me that wanted to go over there and just pray for him. I don't know what it was. I don't know about y'all, but I don't enjoy praying for people. It's not natural for me. I'm scared to death to talk to somebody. Nonetheless, say, hey, do you mind if I pray in the name of Jesus over you? I'm scared to death of it. It's a work of God in us, that convicting, pulling spirit that says there's something wrong with them and you have the answer. You have the remedy to their problem. I want you to go. Now listen, God's never going to tell you to go do something that he's not willing to work in the midst of. Isn't that wonderful? So God's not going to pull you out of your comfort zone to embarrass you. He's pulling you out of your comfort zone that he might glorify himself through the testimony of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? And guess what? I went over and I laid hands on him, as nervous as I was. I didn't even get all the prayer words right. I just said, God, touch his knee. And guess what happened? His knee quit hurting. And then the next person goes, that's incredible. You mean God answered your prayer? That's exactly what. This is what's happening in Acts 4. They come back to the rest of the believers and they said, you'll never believe what happened today. Me and John, we were just going to the temple to give worship unto God. And there was a man lame from the moment of his birth. And as we were walking along, he asked us for alms. And you know us, we never carry spare change. So we just talked to him. Now, that's not in the book. I just added that. But we just stopped to talk to him and tell him, you can have something that we have. You can be delivered in the same way that we were delivered. See, I wasn't lame like you were in your feet. I was lame in my soul. I was crippled in my life, but Jesus came along and he touched me. And if you want this, you can have it. In the name of Jesus, I give it to you. And you'll never believe it. This man got up and he began to leap and he began to dance and he began to praise God with all of his might. And you'll never believe this either, but we began to do it with him. We couldn't believe it ourselves. God's on the move, church. That's what they're telling them. You'll never believe God is moving still. He's resurrected and alive, and his spirit is in us. Everything that he promised us is still for us. We're moving for God. We're living for God. And all the church began to worship and praise God. And they began to say, oh my goodness. And then what happened next, Peter and John? They said, then they took us into captivity. They took us and they jailed us. And they brought us out before everybody, and they put us on trial, and they began to ask us these questions, and all we could respond with is, this has nothing to do with us. It's only Jesus. And you know what they said about us? They said, look at these uneducated, unlearned, ignorant people. But they've been with Jesus. Oh my God, folks. The world can look at us and call us whatever they want, but at least they can say at the end of it all, there's no reason anything good should have ever came from them. But I perceive that they've been with Jesus. They've been with him. Folks, they had been with him. You have to understand how this comes about. You have to be with him. You don't just decide, today I'm going to do what Jesus says I'm going to do. That's not how it works. You must be in relationship with him. You have to realize that there was a time we couldn't be in relationship with God. We were separated from him. You have to understand the gravity and the power that it took for God to send his own son, Jesus, to walk among the earth, to answer all of the prophetic words that were said about him, to go to a cross, to be pierced for our transgression, to die a sinner's death, to go to a grave to bury every person's sin, future, present, and past, for those that believed on him. And then the power that it took to come down into that grave, to pierce the depths of hell, to rob hell of its goods, its power of death, hell and the grave, it robbed it. And it raised Jesus up from that grave. And it's that life that we now have in us as believers. You have to understand that. It's not always been that way. But somewhere along the way, as believers, even though we have access to that power, even though we acknowledge that that power is there for us, because isn't that what the word says? It says, the same power that raised Christ from the dead now lives in me. Isn't that what the word says? That's New Testament. That's new stuff. That's stuff Jesus brought to us. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. Yet you know what the trouble with the church is today? It doesn't live in us. It doesn't. No one says that they've been with Jesus anymore. No one says that. Anybody watch the Olympics? Anybody watch the opening ceremony to the Olympics? Pretty controversial topic there. Lot of trans things going on. Pretty hot topic stuff. Yeah? Anybody watch that? Listen, I've gotten 5 phone calls about it. Did you see this? Yeah, we watched it. Folks, more people are talking about the trans movement, the LGBTQ+ movement. Everybody's talking about that, but no one's talking about the church. Nobody. Because that seems more alive than the church is. People come to the church expecting to receive what is promised by the church. Yet they don't receive what's promised by the church. And a lot of that has to do with is because the church has taken on the responsibility to try to recreate that, to give that to people. And we can't do it in our own ability. So what do we have to do? We have to move back. We have to move back into the presence of Jesus. We have to move back into the mentality and the ideology that I have nothing to do with this. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. Well, how do I get less of me and more of him? I can tell you an easy way to do that is to get into his presence. Because when you get into his presence, flesh can't stand where glory is. You look at Daniel. You remember when Daniel prayed for 23 days, fasted and prayed, seeking an answer? And an angel of the Lord finally came, and it was Jesus himself. And it said that Daniel laid prostrate on the ground as dead. That's because flesh can't stand in the glory of God. Sin can't stand in the glory of God. See, what happens when we get into the presence of God, his glory magnifies these truths in our lives, those things that are holding us back from being in his presence. And it gives us the choice through that. It's called conviction. And he says, listen, you can get as close as you want to me, but just like Moses, come no further until you take those sandals off your feet. There's some stuff separating you from me. So we come into the glory of God, and what we don't like is when those things are magnified and pointed out, we perceive that as shame, and we don't want to get close to God. But it's quite the opposite. It's love going, no, I want you to get closer to me. And we don't fight God with that. We just say, God, whatever you want out of my life, you can have it, as long as it means getting closer to you. And when we get closer to God, things begin to happen in our lives, things that we have no control over. Peter and John did not walk up on this man thinking, you know what, we're going to do ministry today. Ministries are Tuesdays and Thursdays and Sundays and Wednesdays. Those are our ministry days. We're going to go out into the street, and every lame person that we see, we're going to heal. That's not their mentality. Every day they woke up, they just desired to be close with God. Every day they just said, God, whatever is in me that could separate me from you, God, deal with it in me, because I don't want to be restricted from you. Not just me alone, but anyone that I come into contact with today, they could look on me and see you. The ones that aren't going to heaven, the ones that don't have salvation, the ones that really are bound in sin, they could look on me and they could have hope in you. So God, deal with me. Deal with my heart. Draw me into your presence. See, because the only testimony that we're going to have is those are just ignorant, unlearned people. That's our testimony without Jesus. Isn't that what the Pharisees said about Peter and John? You're just unlearned, ignorant. You're dumb. The message that you're bringing me is dumb. The help you're trying to offer me is dumb. You're awkward. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't love. You don't care. You don't have any idea what you're talking about. Isn't that what Corinthians says when it comes to love? Love is patient. Love is kind. Talk in tongues of angels if you want to, but if you have no love in your heart, you're just a clanging cymbal. Isn't that what it says? Folks, God is love. So he draws us in. He gives us his nature, and then he takes us back out into the world that his nature might be revealed. That is the purpose of the Church of Jesus Christ. If it was not so, we'd be raptured already. But he's left us here for a purpose, so that people might look at us and go, I used to know that person, but I don't recognize them anymore. What's different about you? What's different about your life? Oh, that's right. You've been with Jesus. You've been with Jesus. You know what I've noticed since I've gotten saved? There has been a lot of people that have said to me, get that Jesus out of my face. We don't want to hear about it. We don't want to talk about it. Get him out of my face. That's just me being loving and compassionate on people. Hey, thanks for the Jesus, whatever. We don't want him. Don't bring him up again. Time goes on. You know the very people that come to me and ask me about Jesus things? Those same people. Hey, stuff's getting pretty bad. What's the Bible say about this? Do you see that thing on the Olympics? What's the Bible say about all this stuff? Those same people. that had an opposition to me before. Why are they coming to me? It's not because Rafe has some answers for them. It's because they've recognized that there is Christ in me. Something greater than Rafe. Something greater than all of us. Something that they can put their hope in. Something that they can believe on. That can heal them, deliver them, save them. And folks, it is the desire of God for us to walk in this manner. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here still. I know I'm right here at the end of time, but I want to just read this out of 2 Corinthians. I'm going to skip a whole point out of what I'm preaching today. Just to read this in 2 Corinthians 3, starting in verse 7. Because I want us to be encouraged today that we're not withheld by what the world says. Folks, I used to say this all the time. There was a school that invited me to come preach, a school up in North Florida. They invited me to come preach at an assembly. And it was the entirety of middle school and high school. And I came in and they said, you have 15 minutes. That's all you get. And we want you to share your testimony and minister whatever you feel is to be ministered. Now, it was student led, so I got invited by students, which was a blessing. So when I came in, I took my 15 minutes. And I said, my title for that was How to Convince Somebody to Believe on Jesus in 15 Minutes. And it was great. So many kids wanted to accept Jesus after. It was one, God really moved in it. And the principal and the teachers were amazed because they were believers as well. And they just thought, why aren't we allowed to do more of this? And the principal piped up and said, the reason that we are not allowed to do things like this is because if we let a preacher come in, then we're going to have to let the Muslim come in. We're going to have to let the Satanist come in. We're going to let all these people come in. And then we're going to have all this stuff that we don't want in here. So it's better for us to sacrifice Jesus from the school than to allow everything and include everything else. You know what my response was? Let them in. Let them in. They're already here. They're already in there. Satan's already in our schools. They're teaching Muslim curriculum in some places. There are. In Holmes County, where we were, that was a parent brought Muslim curriculum to us from a high school, public school. So it's already in there. You know what my response was? Let them in and let them say what they want to say at these assemblies. But you let a man or woman of God stand up at the end of it and proclaim the name of Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus is the name above every name. He's the King above every king. And in light of all the gods of this world and idols of this world, he's the only one that's alive. Folks, this world, let them show it. Who cares? Let them show it. But don't allow the voice of God be void in us either. When they stand up, you need to stand up and go, the Bible doesn't agree with that. It doesn't. This is what the Word says. But you give them life through the Spirit of God. You reveal to them the power of God through it, His ability to do something about the evil in this world. Folks, so long we've just allowed this stuff to go on and we've had no answer from the church. And whose fault is that? Is it the pastor's fault? Is it the evangelist's fault? Is it the missionary's fault? All of them are acting in the roles that God's called them to do. It is the body of Jesus that is not living every day in the presence of God to where when people come upon them, they go, these people have been with Jesus. That's the missing link. What did they say in Acts? After that prayer meeting, when they encouraged one another and they were all built up in their faith, they were all filled with the Spirit of God. They were filled with the Spirit. The house shook. And they were filled with the Spirit of God. And they went out into the world. And what happened after that? Miracles, signs, and wonders. Not just Peter and John, but everyone that was there experienced the same testimonies. And it grew day by day. The church grew every day. Not because one man was great, but one God was glorified. Christ was represented. The Spirit of God lived, and He dealt with situations in those ways. Folks, you don't need to attack transgenderism or homosexuality. You don't need to attack any of that. Just live for God. Show people that living for God is better than living any other way. That's it. That's the reality of the testimony of Jesus in us. Why are you so happy in the midst of all this depression? Why are you so calm in the midst of all this anxiety? Because the world can offer what it wants to, but at the end of the day, it's empty promises. But I'll show you the one that promises it all, and he fulfills every one of them. His name is Jesus. Folks, that's a reality of Christ. That's my testimony. If you're encouraged today, it's not because Rafe gave you some great message. It's not even my words. It's his word. I just brought it to you to hope to encourage you today and say, God wants you to do this. I'm just going to read my scripture. I'm 4 minutes past 12. I don't know where you're going to lunch today, but they'll understand when you get there a little late. Just let me read this and we'll close. Amen? God, I love this church. Y'all are awesome. 2 Corinthians 3, 7 through 18. But if the ministry of death, which was written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the treading, in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the same Spirit of the Lord. Now, all that considering, I want you to understand, we can live as Christians by the law, and we can condemn sin by the law, right? That's what the Old Testament deals with. That's what Moses brought down in the Ten Commandments and all the legislative laws right after that. And so we can live under that, but that is death. The letter brings death, but the Spirit brings life. And that's what Paul is exercising here. He's saying, if the law was great in its righteousness, so great that no one could live, because all of us were unrighteous, how much more glorious is what Jesus did through the blood? How much more glorious is that righteousness? Folks, we as a church aren't walking around condemning people for what they are. We as a church are living out what Jesus said is right. Isn't that wonderful? Not because I can live it out. I can't uphold the law. I'm not good enough to do that. But I can tell you who is good enough to do that, the Spirit of God. How do I obtain the Spirit of God? I've got to be in his presence. I've got to be in intimate relationship with him. I want to draw close to him. Folks, it allows me to love people that are unlovable. It allows me to like people that are unlikable. It allows me to give compassion on people that don't deserve it. And out of that testimony, people look and go, how can you do this to me, knowing all that I've done, all that I've been through? And you can look at them and say, I look at you the way that Christ once looked at me. He loved me. And they're going to go, how glorious is this love? And you know what you get to say? It is glorious, because it's not my love. It's his love. Folks, love and kindness leads men to repentance. It's the grace and the goodness of God. Isn't he wonderful? He gives it to us. He allows himself to live in us to where people look at us and go, I knew you, but I don't know you. What's happened to you? Jesus is alive and well. Folks, let the world be the world, but don't stop letting Jesus be Jesus. It's time for the church to walk in signs and wonders again. Folks, not because we're going to conjure it up and formulate it. That's not what we're going to do, but we're going to come together. We're going to love one another. We're going to love those that are lost. We're going to pray. We're going to believe. And we're going to live out what God said is right for us. And you know what's going to happen when we do that? There's going to be lame people all along the way. And they're going to ask you for all sorts of, I don't have that, but I do have something that I can give you that's far better. His name is Jesus. Can we stand all over the house today? Amen. 8 minutes past. Woo. Woo! Got a rogue preacher. I'm just teasing. Thank you all so much for bearing with me this morning. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer, just corporately, and ask God, number one, God, I want you to be in my home. I want you to be in my life intimately, individually. I want that for my life. Number two, God, I want that for our church. I want to gather like Peter and John and all the other apostles did. And Father, I want to bring testimonies like they brought. You'll never guess what happened today. Saw a lame man walk. And the world tried to condemn us, but you know what? God's testimony was too great. Everyone believed on Jesus, and no one could say nothing about us because God is good. I desire that. So let's pray together. Amen. Father, we love you. We thank you. What a beautiful church this is, God. What a beautiful congregation. What beautiful worship we had this morning. Father, and it's all for you. We gather because of you, Jesus, what you've done in our life, Lord. And we can identify with these testimonies out of this Bible, God, because the same thing that you did for them, you've done for us. You've saved us. You've separated us, God, all by the power of your blood. You filled us with your Holy Spirit, and you allow us to live out, God, your life. And Father, people just want to know what in the world happened to us. And we, by boldness of the Spirit, can say, Jesus, you've given us that testimony. Father, every person here has it. It's at our disposal, God, to use. Father, let us be bold enough to grab a hold of it, to walk in your Spirit, to walk in your life, God, to live out what you've called us to live out, God. If not, Father, we can't do it in our own ability. We're so weak. We're so feeble, Lord. Father, we're depressed. We have anxiety. We have these troubles in our life, God, without you, that is going to just bear us down with the weights of this world, God. But Father, you're the hope to a lost and dying world. You're the hope to my lost and dying world. So I give you the glory and the praise. I pray for all those that are out, all those that are traveling, all those that are dealing with sickness, Lord God. Lift them up, Jesus. Father, those that are in their bodies, God, let their testimonies come back and go, I don't understand what happened. I just came back and I was healed. I feel better. I pray that those testimonies begin to funnel into this church, God, where our faith is built. And people will look at us and go, I don't know what happened to those people, but they've been with Jesus. Let it be our testimony, God. Let it be our life. Let it be your life. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Thank you, everyone, for your prayers for the baby and Carly, the food, everything. Y'all have been such a blessing to us. I just wanted to make sure I thanked you again. Pastor Pedro did a wonderful job last Sunday, I heard. It was wonderful. Don't forget, we've got the baby shower next door. Everyone is invited to come and just be a blessing and shower them with love. So God bless you. We'll talk to you later, hopefully next door.